What is up, crew? And welcome to Firearm Friday. We're live here on YouTube, simulcast over on Gun Channels. And yeah, this is the Friday show. So TGIF. I see you out there, Tardot. And we're going to talk a little bit about the ATF bump stock inquiry tonight and more about, I think pretty much everybody kind of understands the situation on that and what's going on. Hopefully we can get more into what our response should be, because they do have the open period going now. We've got about another month left that we can call, write, or fill out the forms there online for that. Let them know what we're thinking. And I think it's important that we put up a united front on that and not just get on there and rant and rail and rave and that sort of thing, but actually articulate what we're trying to say. So if we talk about it, like hopefully we'll be able to do tonight, then maybe we can get on the same page. Before we get into all of that, though, let me grab the Gun Channels link as usual, throw it over on that YouTube side, and let everybody know that Gun Channels is where the magic happens. 24/7 live lobby chats over there. So pretty much these types of shows going on all the time. A lot of your favorite content creators are simulcasting over there, just like we are. So go over there, hang out, maybe get into a live chat yourself and discuss the topics of the day.
Beware of Yankee and Bob, though.
Yeah, well, that's true. You got to kind of stay out from in betwixt some people. There are some over there that have friction from time to time. Speaking of that, that Gun Channel side, looking over there, see who we got. It looks like Smeggy's with us over there in Patriot Pants, Knives, Midmo Gunner, Cycle Camp, Dale's over there, Scott, Rigo, Two Dot, Brandon. And I'm guessing Dale's got maybe two accounts, or the accounts are just jumping on me. It's weird that they do that, but sometimes sometimes it does that. So, and Gizzard's over there as well, and I know Gizzard's probably pulling double duty. So let's check out the YouTube side. I know there was quite a few of you guys that were here earlier. Moo's out there in Dale and Disaster, and Gizzard Grimm, of course. So it's never a show unless Grimm's here, it seems. Jared, John, Midnight, Nate, Patriot, Phoenix, Rich, Roosted, Scott, Tardot, Wheelchair, and Mr. Zero looks like is in the house over on that side. So welcome, guys. I'm sure there'll probably be more come in, like Jesse and LB just did. And we've got some invites out for the panel, too, so we may have some more jump on here shortly. But for now, this is what we got, and it's a pretty good panel, I think. So let's run through and let those guys say hi. We'll start out with Mr. Sexy, Mr. John Z. How are you, buddy?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. How's everyone tonight? Thank you for the invite. And to everyone joining us today, thank you for being with us.
Absolutely, you bet. And from Rick's Life as I See It, Mr. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the invite.
Not a problem. And from Hit or Miss, also the backyard chat, those are not amiss when he actually does hit and do them. Nice strike. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the invite. Hopefully I'll do some more backyard chats this coming next year, because right now I'm busy with family, so I can't do them often like everybody else can. So
yeah, the holidays kind of throw a kink into stuff. I get that. And from 50 Caliber Karma, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Oh, dude, I'm outstanding as ever. Got a brand new video out tonight. Y'all should check it out after the chat.
Beware of Link. Yep.
No, I'm not going to drop one.
He says that now.
I'll drop it later, like at the end of the chat.
Drop it. Yeah, drop it now. Yeah, if you drop it now, then they may forget by the time the chat's over. So, yeah. Yeah, that's one to save. And Fine Apes with us. How are you, buddy?
Doing just fine. Thanks for the invite.
So let's jump into it here. I actually have the I have the document up. I don't know if I can share this or not. I'm going to post the links. If they don't work for some reason, don't blame me. But this is the... oh, crap. What happened to my chat? There we go.
Hey, if you put it on the side in the internal, I'll screen share it and just lock it on my screen.
Oh, I should be able to. I should be able to screen share it.
Roger that.
Unless my internet was getting wonky. Whoa, getting wonky earlier. But kill that camera so that it doesn't. But I should be able to. So here we go. And hopefully that's showing up.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, what?
Am I going to have to start saying shall not be infringed left and right?
Why not?
Hey, just FYI, Night Strike's going to keep talking. Just lock it on your screen so everybody sees the document.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that way you don't get interrupted. But anyway, here it is in all of its glory, and we're just going to kind of pick and choose some sections and different things going through it. I'm going to skim over it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. But what this is from the DOJ, BATFE, of course, and it is an application of the definition of a machine gun to bump fire stocks and other similar devices. So what that means is they want to apply the term machine gun to essentially bump fire stocks. And then they would fall under that classification or that definition. Agency, obviously, BATFE or ATF. Action here is advance notice of proposed rulemaking and request for comments. So this is it's pretty standard stuff, just like the attempt to, what was that, the M855 ammo.
After they succeeded last year. With the 7 and 6.
Yeah. And in summary here, it says the Department of Justice anticipates issuing a notice of proposed rulemaking, what they call an NPRM, that would interpret the statutory definition of machine gun in the National Firearms Act of 1934 and the Gun Control Act of 1968 to clarify whether certain devices, commonly known as bump fire stocks, fall within that definition. Before doing so, the department and the ATF need to gather information and comments from the public and industry regarding the nature and scope of the market for these devices. So, and I think it's important also that we remember that they're gathering comments from the public and industry. So as we go on our shows like this and we tell people, hey, get out there, contact the ATF, you know, let your voice be heard. I think it's also we should pay close attention to those in the industry that are, you know, standing with us on this, or whether they're against us on this, or whether they're even paying attention to it. Because that's one thing as listed here that the ATF is wanting to hear from, you know, those in the industry as well. And the people that manufacture bump fire stocks, well, then they quite possibly, I mean, they're going to be sending information into the ATF. But I mean, if they make, some other kind of accessory, or if they're just a firearms manufacturer or something like that, well, they may ignore it altogether. And, we kind of need to band together. So there may be some call to action that needs to be made, I think, to some in the industry. And then it's got the dates. Says written comments must be postmarked, and electronic comments must be submitted on or before. And it says insert the date here. The date is January 25th. For those that are unaware, commenters should be aware that the electronic federal document managed system would not accept comments after midnight Eastern Standard Time on the last day of the comment period. Then they've got the addresses that says you may submit your comments identified by docket number. This is very important. 2017, that's 2017 R-22. And they basically got three methods of doing it here. You can do it by this address, which I'm going to try to copy. I don't know if I can. I just clicked off the whole freaking thing here. My bad. Let me just scroll back down. And I'll throw this link out in the chat. Hopefully it works. Hey, Chevelle. See, Chevelle jumped in with us. Wheelchair, Garan. Hey, guys. So there is where you can do the digital comments. Supposedly is on that address. Or they've got a fax number here. And again, you can follow that link and get to that. But it's 202-648-9741. Or you can snail mail. And if you snail mail, then again, make sure that you mention that docket number, 2017R-22. Goes on to say that all submissions received must include the agency name and number, the docket number, obviously, for the advance notice of proposed rulemaking. All comments received will be posted without change to the federal e-rulemaking portal. So that means even if you do fax or mail, that they will put those onto the portal as well. This includes any personal information provided. And then, of course, they've got detailed information on doing it. They've got to further contact here, but this is where we get into the meat of the matter here. And it says the Attorney General is responsible for enforcing Gun Control Act of 1968. As amended in the National Firearm Act of 1934 as amended, the Attorney General has delegated the responsibility for administering and enforcing these laws to the director of the ATF, subject to the direction of the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General. So basically what that's saying is that they can just kind of change definitions. That's what they are citing. Gives them the power to change definitions. Then it goes on to say the NFA defines a machine gun as any weapon which, and this is sort of important here, any currently defines as any weapon which shoots, is designed to shoot, or can readily restored to shoot automatically more than one shot without manually reloading, comma, by a single function of the trigger. The term also includes the frame or receiver of any such weapon, any part designed and intended solely and exclusively, or combination of parts designed and intended for use in converting a weapon into a machine gun, and any combination of parts from which a machine gun can be assembled if such parts are in possession or under the control of a person. The Gun Control Act defines machine gun by reference to the NFA definition. The Gun Control Act regulates the transfer and possession of machine guns under Title 18, Section 922 makes it unlawful for any person to possess a machine gun unless it is lawfully possessed prior to the effective date of the section or is under the authority of federal government or state. Basically, that's the Hughes Amendment. So they don't make machine guns anymore, and the ones that they, for commercial purposes, and the ones that they do, you basically have to be law enforcement, military, that sort of stuff. Those engaged in the business of manufacturing, importing, or dealing in NFA firearms must be registered with the Attorney General. That's a duh. When the NFA was enacted in 1934, only a handful of firearms qualified as machine guns, such as the Thompson. Over time, however, as firearm technologies have advanced, manufacturers and the public have attempted to develop firearms triggers and other devices that permit shooters to use semi-automatic rifles to replicate, very important word here, automatic fire without converting these rifles into quote-unquote machine guns within the meaning of the statute. Consequently, questions have arisen about whether these types of devices should be classified as machine guns or machine gun conversion devices pursuant to Section 5845. Then it goes on. Let's see. Need to skip all this mess. But then it goes on to the ATF ruling in 2006-2, examining a firearms accessory device that, when activated by a single pull of the trigger, initiated an automatic firing cycle that continued until released. So again, we're talking one trigger pull. We're talking, not talking semi-automatic. We're not talking multi-trigger pull. There, several times now they've mentioned that that single trigger pull. The ATF has issued a number of private letters to individuals and manufacturers who voluntarily submitted such devices for classifications under the NFA and GCA. In addition, the ATF has promulgated a regulation that defines machine guns, but that regulation mirrors the statutory language of the NFA and GCA and provides no further interpretation. So what that's saying is the people that sent in for the letters for the bump fire stocks, basically the ATF just responded by citing current regulation and saying they're not regulated because, and here's current regulation. And yeah, then it goes on into actually talking about Vegas here, which I'm not really going to get into, but it's weird that they're citing Vegas and I guess they're citing it to talk about how it's increased pressure, I guess, for them to open this inquiry. Then it goes on into the public requests and talks about, how they're supposed to open this up, and they're looking for, people's opinions and information from the industry. And then in this section, it goes down. I found this kind of interesting. It actually has questions that I guess they're looking to answer. These questions is what this is saying. And they've got questions for manufacturers, and roll down, they've got questions for retailers. And let's just read a couple of these questions. I'm not going to read all of them, but let's read a couple. For the manufacturers, it's asking in what part of the manufacturing process are they involved? And then it wants to know in what calendar years the manufacturing was involved. What were their approximate gross receipts of sales, which is weird. And it does ask here, for what use or uses have you marketed bump stock devices for, basically. So, some interesting stuff there. Then we go down to retailers, and it's kind of the same thing. It's asking them how many they sold, blah, blah, blah. It still has that same question. It says, hey, for what reason or how are you marketing these, And then if you go down to consumers, there's very few questions on the consumers thing. So, I mean, our input is important, but we, they're basically, it's like they're looking to answer these questions, which I find is kind of weird. It says, first question there says, in your experience, where have you seen these devices for sale, and which of these has been the most common outlet from which consumers have purchased these devices, like a brick and mortar retail store, an online vendor, gun show, or similar event, or private sales between individuals? Then it goes on to say, based on your experience or observations, what is or has been the price range of these devices? And then the next one is, just like the manufacturers and the retail, it asks, for what purposes do you see bump stock devices advertised, what they're used for, basically. So I kind of find these questions weird for some reason.
I think some of these questions are being used to compile and I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this in air quotes here, to compile a list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely getting at, it's like they want to, with these questions, it's like they want to know roughly how many are out there. Not just how many are out there, but, what are they worth? What percentage of the market, I guess, they are?
I think some of it might be they want to figure out what kind of economic impact they might have with it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think so. I think that's it. They're and also that tells them. I mean, if bump stocks are not a big seller, there's not that many out there, and there's not that many being sold, then, you know, it that may go that could go either way. They could say, hey, you know, there's not that many. They're only it's only a very very small portion of what's being sold out there. So we're not even we're not going to mess with changing anything for that. That's ridiculous. And then again, they may say that because not that many are sold, because we all know bump stocks do not make up a big share of the firearms market. They just don't. Most of us probably on this panel and out in the chat don't have one and kind of think they're rather stupid. That opinion and, you know, the right to have one or the fact that there's somebody out there wanting to say that it turns stuff into a machine gun are two totally separate things. So no, we have to be real careful about, you know, about how we say things and what we're talking about. And that's, like I said, that's part of the conversation tonight. So, that's all I'm going to touch on this. There's several more pages. It kind of just repeats itself over and over and over, honestly. But that's, you know, that's what they're going for. They in nowhere, let me get off the screen here so it doesn't look all weird. In nowhere in that documentation anywhere did I find anything. And if somebody else has read through it and seen it, then definitely let me know and I will go back. But I found nothing in there that establishes any kind of a base rate of fire anyway. And if we're going to go down this road, well, that turns it into... You've got two ways of saying that, hey, this turns a firearm into a machine gun. There's two roads you go down with this. The first is you pull the trigger one time and it fires repetitively until, you know, more than once until you release the trigger. Okay. And that's been the long-standing definition. Then you've got, if you're going to change that up, you're going to have to establish some type of a baseline for the base firing rate for a machine gun. Anything above this type of a firing rate, regardless of how, you know, how many times the trigger is pulled, and then you start going down that slippery slope. And we've seen it repeatedly in the past, whether you're using a belt loop or a shoestring or a rubber band or some springs from the hardware store or whatever.
Hell, even Jerry Mikulek's finger now.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. Or even somebody with great finger dexterity. But you see where it gets a little crazy when you start doing that. So let's run this through. And what I'm looking for with this is, like I said, I want to attack this from a point of when we're communicating with the ATF, because I haven't gotten on the site. I haven't written a letter. I haven't done anything yet. I plan to within the next week, but I haven't yet.
Not sure whether I should or not.
Come on, you can write something that's decent.
I may need some help.
Yeah, well, that's fine. So what I'm looking for is when we're doing this, you know, what are the points of contention we need to bring up? What do we need to be talking about specifically? I'm gonna start with John on this. What do you think, John?
Before I go further, I just want to remind everybody, no matter what you think about bump stocks, automatic weapons, whatever you have no interest in whatsoever, whatever you consider to be stupid, pointless, useless, please remember, when you have issues with your First Amendment, we in this community and on gun channels will be right behind you, standing with you. So just remember, it's not about one item. It's about the whole thing in general. And with having said that, I think one of our contentions should be that should be mentioned is the fact that these are items that people use for recreation. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. That gets into, I don't know, I think that gets into a slippery thing. I think we got to be careful with that too, potentially. Of course, everything we deal with, it seems, can be a double-edged sword, and that's the bad thing.
Absolutely.
But if, you know, if we're talking recreation, then they can come back and go, well, you know, it's not, you know, they're not, that doesn't apply to self-defense, and that doesn't apply to this, and that doesn't apply to that. So, you know, I think we have to get into a mechanical foundation first, you know. But yeah, I think that comes up later on that, you know, there's no proof that these have been actually used in any type of a crime at this point. Not that I'm aware of. And if I'm wrong on that, then definitely somebody speak up and correct me. But even though they cite the Vegas thing, I haven't seen anything definitive come out yet. So
I would have to agree with you based on FBI statistics. This is very low common denominator. These items that they're going to be speaking about, and they are not widely talked about because they have little to be used in such events. And as a piece of plastic, I mean, I don't know how you would throw it into the mix and make common sense out of it for people who are determined to do away with it.
Yeah, but see, that all depends on your, whether or not you believe the ATF at this point is determined to get rid of them, because you gotta look at that, and you're talking about it being under the direction of the Attorney General. The ATF is looking into it, and that's part of the executive branch. And even though the executive branch, you're talking about Trump, who's more a populist than anything, I mean, you still got Republican leaning there. So, you know, I don't know that this is just a formality, and, you know, it's something that we can win fairly easily just by, you know, getting our voice out there, or is it something that we're actually fighting them on? And at this point, I honestly don't think it's something we're really fighting the ATF on at this point. I definitely think it's something that every voice needs to be heard on.
Absolutely.
And that just bolsters, because what happens when you do that, you can say, well, okay, we've got the executive branch, and this is all under the executive branch, and they're just trying to make people happy, so they open this inquiry, and they're not going to do anything about that. Well, that's great. However, it will empower them a little more if we all speak out, if we all speak to them when they give us the opportunity and they say, hey, you don't need to get rid of these, you know, and here's the reason why, and just go down the list. Okay. Then they can see that there are people behind them in the decisions that they're making. And that could prompt them to start listening to the people more. And I say could, we're talking about bureaucrats. We're not even talking about politicians here, unfortunately.
Well, that's another side we need to also consider, is to make sure we get our voices heard by the manufacturers, retailers, since a lot of them are going to be involved in this as well.
Right. Apparently. Right.
And we need to contact them even more so now, just as we would our politicians, our so-called representatives, and make them aware that we're not going to let them keep taking away from us.
Right. Yeah. Now, Cycle Camp makes a good point, because we were talking about recreation, and he says sporting purposes would be a better way to put that. I think it probably would. And then Pants says that this is about more than just bump stocks, and it's about any device that can increase the rate of fire on a semi-auto. And yeah, that's the point on this, is that how do you define something as increasing the rate of fire? First of all, machine gun has nothing to do with increasing the rate of fire. Machine gun has to do with one trigger pull is a whole bunch of bullets.
Machine gun has a fixed rate.
Right. Exactly. it's not an, you know, a bump stock would have an inconsistent rate, and from a mechanical standpoint, you would be pulling the trigger fast, basically, more than, you know, way more than, you know, every shot there's a trigger pull. So that's number one. And then number two, even if that was not the case, and again, this is just my thought process on this, if that was not the case, then you still have to establish, you can't talk about increasing the rate of fire if you can't establish a baseline rate of fire.
Exactly.
How do you increase on something that you have no baseline? So yeah, if, let's see, what do we got here? So let's move down the list here. We'll bring Rick in. What are your thoughts, Rick?
As being only in the shooting community for 2 years now, I first came across those about, let's see, I had a gun for about 6 months, my first, I think I saw it on a YouTube thing, and I thought, how cool. Now, this is from an uneducated person now, right? And this is where I can see where the other side's coming from. My first thought back then, with only guns for only 6 months, was, how cool is that? It makes it like a machine gun. That's the first thought into my head back then. You know, now I know the difference. You know, so, I mean, personally, I don't want one. But if anybody wants one, let them have it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to is, I mean, it's going to be a hard one. I understand what you're saying is, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Even with my semi-auto pistol, I love unloading that thing as fast as I can with my trigger pull. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Who doesn't love unloading a magazine as fast as they can? So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword here. We all like doing it, but it's not a machine gun. I mean, as you said, they do this. What are they going to cover? Binary triggers next?
No, binary triggers are included in this.
They are included. Yeah, and that's what Pants is saying.
So your double tap triggers, your binary triggers, they're all in this.
Yeah. And Pants makes a good point out there with the vernacular, with the words being used. And again, that was sort of the where I was wanting to go with this part of the, you know, with this conversation. And he's like, yeah, the definition isn't pull of the trigger. It has to do with operation of the trigger. So, yeah.
My next thing is this thing coming out now. What is that? I guess they're doing it because maybe HR 38 is never going to happen because it's in that bill too to do this study.
Well, I think the study and this are two separate things.
Achieve the same goal.
They're joined together, don't get me wrong, but I think that it's actually two separate things. A study doesn't yield further regulation or change of definitions. A study doesn't. But yeah, the whole idea of the study was just to shift money around. I mean, we all know that. We watched that on the C-SPAN or whatever it was when that happened live, and it was pretty clear. Because as far as a study, that's what the ATF's doing now, and they can do that without, you know, they can open an inquiry and do a study, the ATF can, without having to have money or anything appropriated to them through Congress. So. It seems like one is the ATF trying to, that's why I say it seems like a ruse almost. It seems like the ATF is just trying to sort of make people happy that we kind of know probably because of looking back on opinion letters they've written in the past and what they have done in the past on certain inquiries. And we think, okay, this is probably just it's not going to amount to anything really. However, with the study, the motive behind that is different. The motive behind the study they want to put out, that is, they want to put out a study to try to get, basically find a smoking gun, no pun intended, to where they then can go in and regulate them and say, aha, find that aha moment where they go, aha, here's the deal. They're, you know, all of this correlates and this is, we need to completely ban them. So there's a difference between we need to ban them and they need to be on the NFA list. And then there's a difference between they need to be on the NFA list. And then, you know, we're changing definitions around. So, we've got to realize we're dealing with several different things here at once, I think.
Right. It's very frustrating. I'm probably the only one out of this panel that actually has a bumpfire stock, and I only have it for entertainment and for fun. But, you know, I enjoy using it for fun and entertainment. I don't use it for anything else other than that. And to suggest that I'm an evil person just because I own one is horrible. But right. That's what some of those senators who were supposed to be pro-gun and Republican have said.
Right.
And, you know, I feel ostracized by my own party because of that. Now, granted, this is politics, okay. and I understand that. We're trying to go over this ATF letter, but let's jump back. What is the original ATF definition as a machine gun? Of a machine gun, it's holding down the trigger and multiple shots coming out one after the other. Correct.
But basically, yeah, one operation and you've got multiple, yeah, projectiles.
Now, granted, with bump fire, you are relying on the bump from the recoil to help you pull the trigger faster. But the thing is, your finger is still pulling the trigger each and every time. Yes, it's pulling it faster than you would normally pull it, but it's still each and every time.
Yeah. One, the machine gun definition, and Pants is correct, is you've got one operation that yields multiple projectiles. With a bump fire or binary trigger or a Jerry Mikulek or a rubber band or whatever, what you do there is you're simply increasing your ability to do multiple operations faster. You still are only getting one projectile per operation. So you're just increasing the ability to complete those operations, faster within a certain amount of time, i.e. rate of fire. A couple of things that were out here in the chat that sort of go together. First of all, a Trauma Jock is mentioning out there that, you know, he doesn't have any use for any of the rapid fire stuff, and he's like, it's fun, but, you know, as long as somebody else is buying ammo. And yeah, I think most people agree with that. I think it's very dangerous if we contact the ATF. We probably do not need to be talking about that. We probably don't need to say, because it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, you know, I really don't care about that crap. But people should have it, and here's why. Maybe it's better that we stay completely away from the, you know, the part about I really don't care about that. Because in a roundabout way, if you want to protect that and you want to protect the Second Amendment,
you become a fuck.
Then you do. Well, I'm just saying you do care about it. You may not care about, you may not care about using one, but you still care about it. So that you're not misinterpreted by the ATF, it may be better just to stay away from that completely. Because you go down a potentially slippery slope, because Phoenix mentions out there that FOPA with the Hughes Amendment and FOPA is basically what created the market for all of this stuff we're dealing with now anyway. And
because you can't buy M16s for $600 anymore.
If we go back and we learn from FOPA, we know that in FOPA, basically the NRA gave up machine guns to get everything else. They willingly did that. They were entirely complicit. They didn't even try to fight it. And they, I mean, there are several quoted on that. You can go look it up. So we get into a situation, if we're not careful, we need to be in a situation we don't repeat those mistakes, where we say, well, I don't use a bump fire stock. So, you know, as long as the ATF promises not to go after binary triggers, or promises not to go after trigger jobs, or promises to not to go after this or go after that, then let's just give them bump fire stocks.
Well, FYI, the government is not going to promise anything ever.
Well, we know that. We know that. We've already learned that from FOPA, because we got FOPA. FOPA created the market for this stuff, and then now we're going through the exact same thing again. So we gave up machine guns, and look where we're at. We're on the and I honestly, I don't think this is the threshold of giving anything up, unless we just completely roll over and rally for it. But we're still in a position to where it's being questioned, you know, and all of this should have been solved back with FOPA, because that was the deal, right? That was the deal that they cut, was that, hey, give us all of this, and then you can have this over here. And the issue is, it's never enough. That's what the deal is. So I think we need to, though I agree with the sentiment, because I don't own a bump fire stock, and I don't own anything fully automatic, and you know, my income, I guess, bracket is probably why, because if I was a millionaire, I probably would. I could spend $25,000 on something then, but you know, certainly I can't afford that now. But I don't know, you know, I would have to be pretty doggone wealthy to be able to go out and actually have fun with something like that.
For a long time, I was depending on you know, the steel cased ammunition to do my bump firing, because, you know, before they switched over, Tulo switched over from using copperhead bullets to, you know, zinc plated bullets. You could bump fire with those pretty easy. And now I did switch to brass because it was, you know, because I had an issue with some of the steel case, because when you bump fire a lot, sometimes the primers pop out of the steel, out of the steel cased ammo. And yeah, it can damage the inside of your rifle if you get enough. So that's why I went to brass, but I started using steel case again, just to, you know, get a bit more fun out of it. But the problem is, I've shown that current issue Tula with the zinc plating doesn't give you enough recoil in order to reliably function a bump fire stock on a rifle.
Right.
Well, primers aside, the fact that they included all these other items under the bump stock with that, I'm extremely suspicious of just how political this really is.
It's all politics.
Right, but how extra political it might be, because of all the additional items that they've included in this hearing, and with the ammo ban taking place in California and whatnot, just, I don't know. I'm very suspicious of these people, and I'm just trying to figure out how much influence are they really, or how much force are they trying to put on the ATF to decide the way they would like them to decide, which obviously we all know would be a negative result for all of us.
Well, but I think it's dangerous too, though. I think because here's the deal. You know, you don't, well, I mean, I guess you could, but initially you don't go into war and just carpet bomb everything. It's sort of that it's a tact. You got to have some tact in your approach, and you've got to try to understand at what angles they're coming from, and all that kind of stuff. And when you're talking about the California thing, yes, in that it's an attempt. It's not an attempt. It's a blatant breach of the Second Amendment. But I don't think that's coming from the same place that this bump stock is. I mean, maybe in a grand conspiratorial matter, you know, of George Soros funds it or something like that. Okay, maybe. But As far as localized, as far as a bureaucracy level, I don't think it's coming from the same place. So, you know, like I said, I think we got to be careful. I think honestly, we may have the ATF on our side, and this is more a situation to where we need to show them that we are unified, and you know, we kind of understand. It's more like, hey, we understand why you're doing this. You're doing this because all these people in Congress and whoever is ranting and railing, and they want this inquiry opened, you know, but we're behind you. You know, make the right call like you've done in the past. We're here. We're behind you. We support you. You know, here's why because they know all this stuff we're talking about. They're not, I've talked to ATF people. They're not stupid. Not the higher ups. You know, some of the rank and file people maybe, but you know, higher ups, they know how machine guns work and that sort of stuff. These that are actually doing the opinion letters, I actually hold several opinion letters and stuff, and very articulately wrote, is that a word? Anyway,
yes, sir.
Written opinions when you get them back. So there's somebody there that knows what they're talking about. They know regulation and, you know, they understand your arguments, you know, or your whether they're supporting arguments or what or not, you know, they understand that. I'll open it up. I know Night Strike has said a lot, but I'll kind of give the floor to you for a minute, Night Strike, if you want it to just give your spiel real quick.
Well, I said a bit already, but you know. I enjoy it. I know some people don't like bumpfire stocks because they're just, you know, ammo wasters. And, you know, in a sense, yes, it is. You're not going to get any sort of accuracy out of that, which is another thing why I don't believe that guy had used, you know, what he used, you know, unless he was doing the whole spray and pray, you know, thing. But that's another story entirely. But the thing about bumpfire stocks is I have tried to get, you know, one continuous burst out of a bumpfire stock. And the problem is it's not steady. It takes a lot of practice to be able to get to use one without having any stoppages or any bursts. So it's not what they say, oh, anyone can use it. It's so easy. It's not as easy as people say it is. But
now A little bit off subject. I see Night Strike and Al kind of went back and forth over there on the gun channel side. Night Strike said, "But you said politician is the world's second oldest profession," and Al says prostitution is the first. And I would almost have to disagree with that and say that they're one and the same. So
exactly.
I hope you don't mind, Clover, but I did send her a link if she wanted to jump in and comment on this as well.
That's fine. I just, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, fine.
If,
that's cool.
If you need me to balance, if you want to make room for her, I'll balance if you want.
No, we got
we've got plenty of room.
Okay.
I just would like to, for those that get sent links and I don't send links, remember that I like my shows PG-13, so. I have potentially underage followers and stuff watching, and besides that, I have people that language severely turns them off. So I would appreciate that being respected if you do join. And that goes for anybody. Everybody on that's already on here, they know that, of course.
I'm going to go down the rabbit hole here when I say this, but
yeah,
I'm not going to say anything bad, so you don't have to worry about me cursing or anything, but. What this comes down to with this whole determination situation is it's a slippery slope, okay? As you said earlier, if we lose bumpfire stocks, we will lose your trigger actuators, anything, you know, technically we'll even lose, those hyperfire trigger actuators, which help you do bumpfire as well. You lose that. You lose all of your drop-in triggers. It doesn't matter what company, whether it does one shot or helps you do a double tap or the Geisleys, none of that will have. You know, hell, they may even have to serialize, Jerry Mikulek's finger.
Well,
I swear to God, he brings up Jerry Mikulek, I'm just going to punch you right in the head. We can't have a single discussion about this without him coming up. And he's great, and I love him, and I agree. But seriously, that is just – oh, it's becoming a trope at this point.
The issue is he's one of the few that, you know, represent the community.
That's not true. I got a buddy that can hold his finger a certain way, and he can bump fire off of his hip with his finger. And, I mean, there's people out there that can spray and pray. Pray and spray just as quick as Michalek. The difference is Michalek is accurate when he does it. But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we can all get a pretty high rate of fire, you know, just by cutting, and we've done it before. I mean, everybody out there has ripped on a trigger just as fast as they could possibly pull it before. And right. The rate of fire when you do that is pretty doggone high. So you don't have to be Michalek. And that's the point, I think, is that, you know, you're not dealing with mechanics anymore. You're dealing with a rate of fire. And if you do that without establishing a baseline, well, there's no way to do that without establishing a baseline. And the problem is that's contradictory to the definition. So they're talking about adding something to the definition that by definition can't be added to said definition. And let that sink in for a minute. But that's the way I see it.
I'm almost done with this. Okay, so remember we lost machine guns in 1986 because no new ones could be manufactured for civilian sale,
right?
Or for civilians to buy or sell
commercial purposes.
So we lost that. Okay, if we lose this. Basically, that would give them a way to take more stuff away. It's technically, I like to call it the domino effect, but you can call it trickle down theory, whatever. You know, it's basically we keep giving up stuff just to keep what we have, and eventually what we have may, if we're lucky, be just revolvers and muzzle loaders, if we're lucky. It will go down that far because they will say, oh, you don't need semi-automatics. You got muzzle loaders and revolvers. You're fine. You got lever actions. You're fine. And they're like, then someone does something wrong with lever action. We need to have a discussion about these lever actions. They're too horrible for people to use. There's too many. People can fire too many shots out of those. We'll just take those away too. You can still have your muzzle loaders and your revolvers. And then eventually we'll be left with nothing.
Right.
I guarantee you this, those statistics already exist.
Exactly.
With all the crime that takes place on a yearly basis with guns from the 40s, 50s, 60s that are still being resold and are still waiting in police locker rooms waiting to be destroyed.
Well, I want to touch on something Garan was talking about out there, because he was talking about high capacity magazines. And That's he's exactly right. I mean, and that's scary too, because if you're going to take, which is what this seems like they're doing, it seems like it's so far fetched. It's like they can't be serious about this, but they, you know, if you're going to throw the mechanics of something completely out the window, okay, then that gets scary when you're talking about magazines. And the reason is this, and I'll read it again from the background section of this ATF paper. It says the NFA defines machine gun as any weapon which, and this is in quotes, shoots, is designed to shoot, or can be readily restored to shoot automatically more than one shot without, and this is the part that bothers me with magazines, without manual reloading. So, you know, Garand's right, and we all know that. I mean, if you swap one mag, drop one mag and slap in another. In other words, you're not loading them single shot, right? Even with the semi-automatic, that's an increased rate of fire. Okay? You're increasing your rate of fire just simply by using a magazine. You're increasing your rate of fire. So, if you're going to throw, like I said, mechanical operation completely out the window, then yeah, it's a very slippery slope into all sorts of things. Not just magazines, but I mean anything outside of like a single shot or a break action, even could fall under, you know, that type of a definition. I'm going to open it up to Matt real quick. Go ahead, man, with what you're thinking or your opinions on this.
Well, I have a few things. First, you know, this is kind of a crappy situation, but man, you guys only have like 4 jokes out there and I'm getting real tired of them. You know, the Jerry Mitchellick, the your finger exercises, all that is getting boring. Second, I think that the ATF is on our side, but only in the way that I'm going to tell you a quick story real fast here. One of my Joes got in trouble once for something he didn't do. And I was told to what's the word I'm looking for? Talk down to him. I was told that I needed to talk to him about it and make sure he didn't do it again. So what I did is I turned my face away from the guy above me and I looked angry and I, you know, knife handed this kid. And I said, "Hey guy, I'm not actually angry at you. I just need to make it look good. So he thinks that I'm disciplining you. And he needs to think that this is happening right now, but really I'm not angry at you." And I think that's kind of what the ATF is doing, is they're showing, you know, turning their back to liberals and telling us, "Hey guys, we're not going to really do this, but we need to look like we're trying to do something." On the other hand, I also think it's them trying to whip it out and show us how big they are and be like, "Hey guys, if we wanted to, we could. So don't try and, you know, be ridiculous about this." And I think it's all, you know, a whole lot of power plays, a whole lot of politics that we don't need to have. And it's really just, man, it is aggravating, but you're right. We all need to work together against it. Try to fight them as best we can. You know, make it shown, you know, make our voice heard, show that we're united in this, that they're going to be like, "Hey, I need to make these guys think we're on your side." And you're like, "No, you need to tell these guys that you're on our side and they're not going to take their nonsense."
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Agreed. Finate, you want to jump in here right quick?
I suppose so. Damn, I had all this time to put my thought together and then go blank.
It happens.
Yeah. Look, I'd say, first of all, I don't trust or think that the ATF is quote unquote on our side. They just pretty much want to just sit there and collect their money and do as little as possible. I see them wanting to put these on the register as a potential revenue source, because they're either going to, because they're not just going to say, "No, you can't have these." They're going to say, "Okay, yeah, you can have these, but you've got, you know, a year or 18 months to get them registered with us," which would be very difficult for them to do anyway. But no, I think this is something that we should definitely just tell them, "Hey, this is bull," just so that we don't have to fight it something else later that might have a little bit better chance of having public support, like getting rid of semi-autos or anything like that. So,
right. CycleGamp sort of got a question. I'll run down the panel here real quick. He's asking, has anybody submitted their comments or whatever to the ATF yet? Have you, Finate?
I have not. I just found out about this yesterday.
Right. Matt, what about you?
No, not yet. I just found out about it today when you were talking about it.
Right. And that's sort of the point of all this. So, Nightstrike?
I responded there out in the chat. I'm looking for help to write something other than hashtag shall not be infringed, because that's how I'm feeling right now.
I understand. Rick, what about you?
No, I haven't. Only heard about it yesterday.
And what about you, John?
I'm sorry, I had to step away for a second. What was it?
Oh, you're fine. CycleGamp was asking if any of us had actually submitted our comments yet.
Negative.
No, but right. We have until January 28th.
It's the 28th. Okay. I thought it was the 25th. So
it might be the 25th. You might be right. I heard it was the
28th. Call it the 20th just to make sure you get it in time.
Yeah, the 20th.
Yeah. Send it in next week. I mean, if you've got your thoughts together. And that's sort of where I was at. I've known this for 2 or 3 days, I guess, now. But, you know, I didn't press it immediately because, I mean, we've got until the end of January. I knew that. And I sort of wanted to have a chat and bounce ideas back and forth and sort of, like Nightstrike says, sort of collect my thoughts and everything. So that's where I was at.
What does it make sense to maybe collectively put together like a not a generic but a guideline list of what we should say to answer some of these questionnaires that they've gotten here?
Well, I think we've covered some of that tonight. I mean, we're talking about the definition of machine gun being a, you know, as Pant said, it has to do with the one, you know, one operation of the trigger, which is pulling the trigger back, is multiple rounds down range. That's a mechanical capability that a bump stock does not reproduce. So that would be one point to certainly make in those comments, I think. And then, Cycle Camp says maybe a downloadable talking points document. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. I would advise against any type of a form letter. Because it's very possible they start getting those and they could just throw them in the garbage or whatever. I think being original in your wording and stuff like that, even though we're on the same page with things, the words we use, the vernacular, the context of everything is going to be a little bit different from person to person. And I think that's,
it's going to be important. I think
that's a better way to go. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to see that that's coming from a bunch of individuals. Because I'm sure there's organizations, I haven't looked, but I'm sure there's organizations that probably have some form letters out there that, you know, you can go through and just sign your name onto a petition and then they send it in, or, you know, you can just fill in your name and a couple of data points on it and send it in. And, you know, I don't think that carries as much weight as when they're going through and they get, you know, tens of thousands or, you know, hundreds of thousands or even millions of emails or submissions or faxes or whatever it is. And every one of them is, you know, it's easy to tell that, hey, that's original and that's different and that's a real person. That's an individual. And they need to understand that. I think that the ones on the left, you know, they demonize the NRA. The NRA is the big dog. And so they demonize them and they demonize these big organizations. And there's one reason they do that. And that's because they're scared of the individual. We've got to realize that the people out there that hate freedom. Okay. If you hate freedom, you hate individualism, and you know, and you hate it because you're scared of it. They're scared of it. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. So, it's when individuals come together that you can affect change. It's not necessarily when, you know, individuals form a coherent organization, and then an organization goes after somebody. You sort of lose the scariness of that individuality, I think. So, I think it would be more appropriate for us to kind of do our own thing, but yeah, stay on those talking points and those bullet points, which has to deal with the mechanics, you know, of the situation, and the fact that, you know, you're going from a mechanical definition into a rate of fire, a subjective definition, you know, and you can't do that. The two contradict each other. So how can you possibly do that?
If I can quick read something quick.
Absolutely.
Actually, Cycle Camp put this on the Gun Channel's side at the beginning of the chat. I'll just read his thing here. There are many non-mechanical changes that can increase the rate of a semi-automatic firearm. The bottom line is the basic definition of an automatic is one operation of the trigger dispenses multiple rounds as long as the trigger is depressed. Bump fire, echo triggers, etc. do not violate this basic premise. Changing the premise is dangerous and could be constructed to include any change that changes semi-automatic fire rates, such as changing springs, adjusting gas ports, modifying bullet loads, and just having a better trigger discipline. In fact, fan firing a revolver increases the revolver's rate of fire. Would you consider that to be a machine pistol? Do not change the rules regarding full versus semi-automatic operation.
Awesome. And that's, I'm guessing that's what Cycle Camp sent into them. So, I mean, that's spot on, I think. It's beautiful. Applause for that. Which I expect nothing less from Cycle Camp. He's pretty articulate with the way he words things out there. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. It's like I've been saying this whole time. It all boils down to mechanics, you know, and anything outside of that mechanical realm, you know, fanning a hammer or, you know, trigger discipline or, you know, whatever, using a rubber band, that's not a mechanical thing.
I got something to ask.
Absolutely.
Living behind enemy lines up here, I'm always worried, and plus I don't trust the government. And I don't trust anybody anymore.
Who does?
But we're not the only ones that are reading this letter from the ATF. What is stopping, you know, Moms for Gun Safety or, you know, these orders, anti-gun organizations, right, from sitting down, writing bunches of answers to these questions in a negative way?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing is. But I'll tell you, they're more for those organizations. This is just with the dealings I've had with them, and somebody out there may have had different dealings. If you have, then definitely, you know, speak up, whatever. My dealings with, like, Moms Demand Action, for example, is that they want to throw a big, huge fit, get some attention, and then have some type of an immediate result. For example, they want to throw a big old fit to YouTube or Facebook or this, that, and the other, and then get a page or channel taken down. I don't think they have the individual cohesiveness. Maybe I need to copyright that. To be taken seriously when it comes to sending in comments to the ATF. I think they would fall more in line because they really don't understand what they're talking about, the vast majority of them. That they're going to fall in line more with that type of an organization that would put out a form letter. Moms Demand Action, in other words, would put out a form letter and everybody would sign on to it or fill in their data and send it in. And like I say, that's not going to hold near as much weight as people that genuinely write in or genuinely fill out the form or genuinely send them a fax that is, in their own words, according to their own wisdom, you know, and is an actual personal comment from an individual. And I think that's, like I said, I don't think anything's stopping them from doing that, but I just don't. You know, I don't see that side being able to pull off that in an effective way.
Okay.
Yes.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're past the hour, so let's start closing it down. I think we've done good. We've stayed on topic the whole show here, and I think especially with Cycle Camp's little letter there, I think we've got some. I think we've got some good insight on how we need to write our comments. And if anybody's listening to this in replay, I just want to put it in there. Or if you're out there listening now, even go into replay, back it up to where they read Cycle Camp's unknown out there says that it went by fast. Yeah, went by very fast. Good stuff. And back it up to Cycle Camp's comments. Don't copy that word for word, of course, but use that's a good template to use definitely for what you're trying to say. Let it fall on, like I said, on the mechanical aspect of things and be done with it. I'm gonna run it through the room here real quick for final thoughts and plugs and you know, whatever may come. We'll start out with Fine Ape. What do you got, buddy?
Well, I'd like to thank you again for letting me be on this chat, and let's see. You know, just keep up the pressure on the ATF. Just, you know, don't do anything over the top or that. But just remember, if we want to keep our rights, we got to keep an eye on those who would want to take them away.
Absolutely. Matt, what you got, buddy?
Well, I seem to have riled up the chat a bit with my earlier comments. So I'm not going to apologize for anything. And also, I want to bring this up earlier because I noticed somebody you know, was mentioning that they unsubscribed from a channel because they disagreed with him. And I'm saying that anybody who unsubscribes from something like that, anybody who backs away from the fight is a spineless weasel. You know, if you have something you don't agree with, talk about it. Don't run away. Don't hide your head in the sand. Fight what you can fight. Do what you need to do. But don't pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, even with disagreements, we can disagree on tact. We can disagree on a lot of things. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we're pretty much all pro-Second Amendment. And we're all going to come together in some fashion or another around that, you know, around that banner. I mean, even if your comments you send in are not identical to my comments and are framed in a, you know, in a different light or whatever the case may be. And there's always, like I said, there's always room for that conversation. We may disagree. And if we do, that's fine. We can disagree on some things, perfectly acceptable. Not strike. What you got for us, bud?
Shall I be infringed?
There you go. The Godfather himself.
Yeah, I got it. He was talking about 45 ACP on that over 9mm, but that's not what this is about. But guys, even if you don't like bump fire stocks, even if you don't like, you know, drop in triggers, or if you do, please, if you don't use that stuff or you do use that stuff, we need both sides. We need you guys to say, to draw a line in the sand and say, no, enough is enough. You're not taking this from us, because if we let it happen, we'll be down. As I said, if we're lucky, we'll be left with muzzle loaders and revolvers. But I don't want to have to count on luck for that. So I'm gonna write a letter. I'm gonna use what Psycho Campus said, and I'm gonna try and be. And say something other than shall not be infringed to get them to at least look at the letter and hope that they won't ban it.
Right. And I think that's optimistic to say that if we're not vigilant, we'll have muzzle loaders and revolvers. I don't think we would have revolvers. We'll have muzzle loaders and potentially maybe break actions, but I don't know that we'd even have those because of the scary cartridges that they use. So, we've got to be very careful. We don't open doors and we don't start start sending things down a slippery slope for sure. Rick, what do you got for us?
Yeah, no, I just want to say, you know, I am going to be sending in my 2 cents worth to them, you know, and as I feel that everybody, as you said, the Second Amendment needs to do this. Because, I mean, as I said earlier, in a few short years, I mean, you know, being in the gun community, you know, going back over the history, you can see what in the hell has been taken away. Right. And it's scary, really.
Yeah.
And the next thing I want to plug is my show tomorrow.
Next absolutely.
I say it at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, good stuff,
Rick,
guys.
Did you get those stickers?
What?
Did you get the stickers yet?
Yes, I have. I got one sticking on my... gun cabinet.
Good.
And yeah, that was my, you know, that was my point earlier. As Rick brings up my point earlier with faux pas, was that the NRA said, we don't care about the machine guns here. You can have them. Just give us what we want over here. And then we're right back today, right now, talking about, you know, more infringement after that was given up then. It's just one thing after another. It never ends. So, it's kind of like we were talking about, I think, on Budget's chat earlier about, you know, where's that line in the sand? Where does it end? And unfortunately, with the other side, it doesn't. So, I mean, we have to remain vigilant, and especially when they're coming at us with ridiculous arguments. And, you know, to take something that's subjective and then try to throw that into a mechanical definition is pure insanity, in my opinion. So they don't even have a valid argument to stand on, really. John, you're up. What do you got for us?
I just want to read this quote from Abraham Lincoln. Prohibition goes beyond the bounds of reason in that it attempts to control a man's appetite by legislation and makes a crime out of things that are not crimes. A prohibition law strikes a blow at the very principles upon which our government was founded. And with that being said, Let's attack this and let's go into it with cool, calm, and collected heads. Yep. Thank you.
I agree. Calmer heads will definitely prevail. So yeah, I'm not even going to try to follow that, guys. That's it for us. We will see you. I'm sure we'll see you on some chats and other things between now and then, but we will actually see you on Wednesday of next week for the Next Generation show, the Youth Shooting Sports show. Until then, get out this weekend. If it's not too cold, if it's not rainy, if the weather is decent enough to get out, hopefully with your family. As Jalsma would say, do something outdoors, maybe go to the range, and just enjoy your weekend, guys. We will see you next week. Bye.